Support for Kansas City Today comes from Grandma's Office Catering, delivering made-from-scratch hot meals and individual boxed lunches for fast distribution to offices, warehouses, and factories, even on nights and weekends. Details are at grandmascatering.com.
This is Kansas City Today. I'm Brian Ellison. Today is Monday, January 16th, Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And we've decided to devote today's entire episode to remembering and reflecting on the legacy of Dr. King in Kansas City, particularly as expressed in the lives of two men who witnessed and sought to live out his ideals here. Danny Cox is a Kansas City music legend, a folk singer and activist who would make Kansas City his home base as he traveled the country singing and demonstrating for civil rights. Alvin Brooks, well, what hasn't he done? Former police detective, former city council member, mayor pro tem of Kansas City, former member of the Board of Police Commissioners and the Hickman Mills School Board, but also a longtime activist who's brought people together to confront racism and violence and income inequality. I spoke with these two about their memories and how they think our country and our city are doing in the long struggle for justice on KCUR's talk show Up to Date. We're bringing you an edited version of that conversation today, which I started by asking Danny Cox what this day, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, means to him.
Well, first of all, you have to really go back in time to see what the country was like when Martin Luther King stood up. You know, we were assassinating our leaders. It wasn't just, something you did on a podcast. Mm-hmm. This was serious business. Mm. And so he was an amazing human being. He was brilliant. I don't know if most people know, his academic scholarship. He was just a brilliant human being. And that brilliance allowed him to see the future and to map it out.
Yeah, that doctorate wasn't honorary.
Yes, it was not. He was absolutely brilliant. And he had with that the heart. I mean, when you can put those two things together, your heart and your mind, I mean, you're unstoppable. Hmm. You have to get rid of them because they're just, it's so powerful.
Alvin Brooks, what does this day mean to you? What do you think about on Martin Luther King Day?
Well, I reflect back upon when Dr. King first came on the scene, and I think that many of us in the African-American community and certainly some in the liberal white community probably saw this as a Moses of the 20th century, who came in with a philosophy and with a nonviolent movement to free a people. And I think that as I reflect back and see now over those years, I sometimes ask myself, how far have we come? And I say, not far enough.
Yeah,
and there's still a lot of road to travel to make things right. And now today, of course, we talk a lot about equity and inclusion and diversity. And it hasn't come to pass yet. And I think until we have a color consciousness, not color blindness, but a color consciousness about where we are as an American and where we are as Kansas Cityans, I think we still have a long, long way to go.
I know the two of you know each other and have spent a lot of years together. But
we're the usual suspects. Alvin and Congressman Cleaver and I, whenever there was, a free community service and a bad chicken dinner, the three of us were there.
Danny Cox, I wanted to ask you about how you actually came to Kansas City, because you've told the story of your first trip to Kansas City, Missouri. It wasn't a very favorable introduction.
No, it was not. It was, remember the old hootenanny days? We came here to play at the Legion Hall, and my sister and I were the only two black people on the tour. And it's interesting because I owned the tour.
It was your tour.
Yes. And we came to the Muehlbach Hotel, and it was so funny. They didn't even bother to say, well, we've lost your registration. We've lost, anybody. The guy just said, looked at me and said, ain't no N-words going to stay in the Muehlbach.
Hmm.
Just straight to our faces.
It's in 1963. I mean, it wasn't too long after that the federal law would have made that illegal.
As a matter of fact, when we came back, I played in Columbia, and the guy at the Daniel Boone Hotel said to me with pride, he said, if you had come here last year, you couldn't have stayed here.
Hmm.
That's what he...
But then you could. So what happened that night in Kansas City when you got turned away from the Mule Bach?
We went to Kansas City, Kansas. We went from a slave state to a free state. My God, how different it was.
Just a couple miles away.
Just a couple of miles away. And there was the Holiday Inn. Remember, it used to sit there. And they didn't know what had happened to us. They just welcomed us. And it was so apparent, you know, between a slave state and a free state. It was just so apparent.
Hmm. We were talking about Danny's first experience in Kansas City not being such a great one. You've been in Kansas City even longer than he has. You've done a lot of things. Take us back to one of your experiences in the 1960s, if you would. You've written about this in your autobiography. It's a pretty gripping chapter. Take us back to the day in 1968 when Dr. King was assassinated. You were working for the Kansas City School District at the time.
Yes, I was at the school district. I left the police department. I said earlier that when I was on the police department, my wife got arrested. I was arresting people, and she got arrested at Fairland Park, which was a public park for white only. But it was just prior to public accommodation, and even after public accommodation in 1964, when I left the police department, they still wouldn't allow blacks there. And so a lot of people were arrested, and then finally they closed it down. But my experience in 1968, and that whole period. I left the police department in 64 and went to the school district. And now we're talking about the sit-ins, and even in 1967, the riots around from Newark particularly was one. And then we had our own homegrown riot here that began April 9th, 1968, which was a memorable moment in our history. And I think a lot of people thought we'd made a lot more progress because now we're in post-Dr. King days. 1957, and of course, this was his death there on the 4th of April. And that next week was riots, six black men were killed, and nothing was ever done. And so those experiences today stand out in my mind as I see the number of incidents that are happening around this country. Kansas City no different as it relates to relationship between the police and the African American community. And of course, there was a report that came out that, Dan Ike Davis, the mayor, had put out the 15th of August of 1968 to study what happened. Why was there a riot in Kansas City? And I think if you look at that, and the same thing that they talked about in 1968 is the same thing in 2022-23 that we're talking about in Kansas City and other parts of America here. And so progress, yes, but how much progress? And not enough that we find ourselves as a free nation. Land of the free and home of the brave, and it just ain't happened yet.
That's longtime public servant Alvin Brooks, along with musician and activist Danny Cox, talking about their experience as black men seeking civil rights in Kansas City in the 1960s. We'll have more of my conversation with them right after this. Kansas City was one of dozens of American cities that saw riots following the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in 1968. Alvin Brooks was in the streets that day as students left their schools and marched to City Hall. I spoke with Alvin Brooks along with musician Danny Cox. Here's more of our conversation. One of the things I was struck by in your account of that week in Kansas City in April of 1968 is obviously a lot of riots broke out right after Dr. King's assassination on April 4th, but that didn't happen in Kansas City. The riot happened the next week, the day of his funeral, and it was related to sort of this institutional decision, right? This decision not to close the schools, even though you and many other black leaders in the school system and in the city said that they absolutely should do that. But there was this institutional decision that led to violence.
And, you know, it's interesting because there were three black men, myself, one of them, and 7 or 8 white men who met at the school board that Monday night. James Hazard was a superintendent and was in Washington. We didn't have speaker phones then, but the decision was, what should we do tomorrow, which was Tuesday. This was Monday evening. And it has been notified or been publicized that the Kansas School District would be closed. And so it was our position, Dr. Robert R. Wheeler and Dr. A. Lita Campbell and myself, as our position, don't open the schools. because the kids in Kansas City are going to come over here, and plus the kids over in Kansas City, Missouri school just going to feel that, well, you're not honoring the death of Dr. King as other school districts across the river. And, of course, we were not listened to. We were outvoted. And then that morning, everything broke loose when the kids began to come out of school and march and everything. And then they were gassed there at 12th and right south of City Hall, between City Hall and the courthouse. And then even went out to Holy Name Catholic Church, where Father Timothy Givens, who was the priest there, had opened it up. And John L. Frazier with the Black radio station, KPRS, announced that it was open because they had teen towns every weekend. Went out there and the police threw tear gas inside the school. Mm. Those kind of things certainly was not good for the city, not good for the African American community, not good for the city as a whole. And I think that those kinds of things really stuck into the minds of the folks who felt we had arrived, that things were much better than they actually were.
You know, let me ask you both. I hear in both of you this sort of tension that I hear a lot from folks, both who have been involved in the civil rights movement of the past and the present, but also who are working for other kinds of social change and other kinds of equity and equality in society, which is this tension between pessimism and awareness of how much progress remains, but also optimism and hope, a belief that something's going to get better. You have to live with believing that even as you continue to be disappointed by society. So I guess my question to you is how do you get past the pessimism and keep working with the hope?
The thing that gives me optimism is the questions that we are asking. Just think about this. We never ask questions like, is it okay to kill a black man? You just strung him up. I mean, we're asking these questions that we never asked before. And I think that's the most important thing, because it is in the dialogue that it happens. If the questions don't come up, the dialogue doesn't change.
Yeah.
The dialogue remains the same.
So it's about asking the right questions.
Yes, that's what gives me the optimism.
How are both of you going to be spending this particular Martin Luther King Jr. Day, Danny?
Well, we're going to remember on the very first Martin Luther King Day, my two daughters put on their little pom-pom outfits. They were just, I think, 10 and 11, and they wrote signs, and they marched around the neighborhood saying, Martin Luther King Day. And we will never forget that, these two little girls. And so we'll remember just his greatness. That's all. I get emotional when I think about him. I'm getting tears in my eyes right now. He was a special human being.
Alvin Brooks, how will you spend this MLK Day?
I'm a person of prayer, a person of faith. And I think I have quiet time. I'm a widow, it's the place. This is sacred ground. This is hallowed ground where I am now, and I pray for a change of mind. That I think that there's power in prayer, and I think that I'll spend some time just meditating after I speak, and it's something that I think that it's time for a lot of meditation, but dealing with reality, and so that's the way I'll have a busy weekend.
That was Alvin Brooks and Danny Cox, two Kansas City greats, reflecting on work for civil rights in Kansas City in Martin Luther King Jr.'s day, and still today. We spoke on KCUR's Up to Date. This is Kansas City Today. This podcast is produced by Trevor Grandin, Byron Love, and KCUR Studios, and edited by Lisa Rodriguez and Gabe Rosenberg. For all the latest local news from Kansas City's NPR station, or to hear my entire conversation from Up to Date, including a couple of Danny Cox's songs, you can visit kcur.org. I'm Brian Ellison. Have a good and meaningful holiday, and we'll see you tomorrow.